Good morning. We're going to call the meeting of the Agriculture, Rural Economies, and Veterans Affairs Finance Committee to order. As you can see, we have agendas that should take us to the end of the day. Let me first thing we're going to do is approve the minutes. Representative Hamilton approves the minutes of the Wednesday, January 21st meeting. Is there any discussion to those minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion prevails and the minutes are passed. Members, here's what we're going to do today. As you know, we took testimony last week on Green Acres, and you can see a number of bills have been introduced and referred down here. It's my opinion that we should do kind of a two-track approach here today. So what our intent is to quickly hear, a lot of these bills are the same. They're repealer bills, basically. And so I think we can get through these fairly quick. I'll give everyone their minute or two as authors to come up. It's my intent then to move, to vote on the Doty bill and get it out of here to taxes. So we have a repealer bill on the way. And then we'll go through the others, listen intently, and then we'll be moving the Faust bill, which is the last bill we hear, with amendments to it. And amendments that you have in your packets have been drafted to that. So what we'll have is two bills going out, one of them to taxes, the full repealer, so that'll be on the fast track if the tax committee wants to do that. The other one, Representative Eakin has asked to hear, because that involves a lot more talk about the set-aside acres and the Class 2s and some of the things that maybe are entering the environmental realm also, and he wants to get his committee eyes on it, which I think is a good idea too. All the other bills will hang on here, and if anything happens to these two bills as they move, we've got a whole nother crew of bills we can send out anytime we want as a committee here. So I think that'll work best. Like I said, we want to get through the bills as quickly as possible, and then we will get into the final bill, which will be the larger amended type bill. Is there any questions on that from anyone? All right. Seeing none, Doty and Davids, we're going to start with their two bills. They're going to present jointly. And just for the sake of ease here, I'm going to move the Davids bill, House File 153, before the committee. And we'll start with you, Representative Davids. Welcome. Nice to have you back in the Agriculture Committee after a couple of little time off by you. I assume you went south in the winters, and I don't know what you did in the winter not being a legislator.
Mr. Chairman, I door knocked.
He does.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for moving the Davids bill, House File 153. And I do want you to know for the record, I did request to sit on your committee and Representative Otremba's committee, but you know how it is, freshmen trying to get committee assignments around here. So instead I got Ways and Means and Taxes and others. But that being said, I introduced House File 153, and this is a repeal bill of the actions that were taken in 2008. It was brought to my attention after November 4th that there were some issues on this, on the changes that were made in 2008, and basically people have come to me and they say, do you realize that if a township needs a little sliver of land for a culvert, that we have to change the title and then we're removed from the program? I find it interesting that we've got a projected $5 to $7 billion deficit problem here, and most of my calls and letters and emails have been coming in on you've got to repeal the Green Acres. So I went in and we put a bill in. And so mine is, this bill, House File 153, is a repeal of the changes made in 2008, so it goes back to the way the Green Acres program was pre-2008. So I stand for any questions, and I thank you for your time.
All right. I think we understand it. Thank you. We know you got to get down to taxes. House File 153 will be laid over for consideration at a later time.
Thank you
for coming.
Members. Thank you.
I'm going to bring up one other time, so get in line. Eastland, we'll end with you, Doty. Eastland, House File 78, and then he'll be followed by Detmer. He's here. Oh, yeah, there he is. Welcome, Representative Eastland. Welcome to the committee. I'd move House File 78 before the committee, and I think we know what's in your bill, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to explain it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know you've got a lot of things going on today. I just want to start by
by saying that the legislation that was passed last year, I think, was very well intended, and I think it came off of an effort by the legislative auditor to make us aware of some things that were not working the way they originally were intended to work in the Green Acres bill that was the legislation that had been in effect for 40 years. But I think there was a number of things that happened, and there's disagreement about whether or not we were hasty in moving the bill ahead that we had last year, whether there was good deliberative discussion that occurred. But I think the net effect that has occurred that we all should be able to agree on is that a big segment of our constituency in our state that have Green Acres were caught by surprise very much on this issue. And so I think one of the issues that I think is extremely important that we need to address, and it's the reason that I have this bill before us to repeal the changes that were made last year, is just the integrity of this process. I think people felt like they were betrayed in this process because there were some significant decisions made last year that had huge economic and long-term impact on the farming industry in this state, and they felt that they were not given an opportunity to speak to those issues. And I think that was really confirmed last week when we had the testimony in this committee on Green Acres. There was a number of testifiers that came. I was in and out of here. I didn't hear all of them, but all of the ones that I heard, and I think if I'm not mistaken, all of the ones that were here felt basically the same way, that this was hastily done. The impacts of this were not really thought through, and we should really repeal these changes and go back and take a look at this in a more deliberative fashion. So that's why I am offering this bill as a repeal. The people in Minnesota, in my district at least, the Green Acres landowners, believe that when they went into the Green Acres program, they signed a contract. They went into a program and they signed a contract with the state that was guaranteed in statute, and they have moved ahead. They have made estate plans. They have done all kinds of things that are predicated on the law as it was prior to last year's changes. And what people are finding out with the changes, that everything is new, everything is different. They feel like the rug was pulled out, the rules were changed, the contract that the state had with them or that they had with the state is being reneged on. And so I think we have a credibility issue, and I think one of the best ways, or the best way, for the legislature to move ahead on this matter is to repeal this and tell the people of our state that we did move ahead hastily, and we need to look at this, but we need to do it in a fair way that gives everybody an opportunity to speak to this issue. And so that's basically what I have to say, and I would encourage us to look seriously at the option of repeal and then going back to look at changes that we want to permanently put in law.
Very good. Thank you. Is there any questions for Representative Eastland? I think we know what's in the bill. Thank you for coming, Representative Eastland. And again, what I'd ask, what I'd mention is all of you should get on each other's repealer bills, too. Add your name to every one of them going through. And Doty should do the same thing and make sure you're seen everywhere, because your message is found. Thank you, Representative Eastland. House File 78 will be laid over for future consideration. Detmer, Representative Detmer, welcome to the committee. And I will move File 184 before the committee, and you can proceed any way you'd like.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Again, I'd like to just support Representative Dottie and Representative Eastland and Representative Davids and the repeal process. I was probably one of many of the representatives around the state that found out about the changes that were made in Green Acres last summer. I started getting calls from constituents. And
Representative Detmer, for the folks in the room who don't know where you're from, tell them what area you're
from. I'm from District 52A, thank you, Mr. Chairman, which includes Forest Lake, Scandia, Hugo, Centerville, Lionel Lakes, Linwood, and Centerville. And we have a lot of members, constituents in that area that are part of the Green Acres. And I attended meetings in Anoka County, I represent communities in the eastern part of Anoka County and northern Washington County, as I mentioned before, and I attended meetings that were put on by the counties. And I was pretty impressed by the participation of the people that came out to let their concerns be known about the changes that were made in the Green Acres bill. And I would hope that we could just start fresh and repeal what we presented to the legislature last year, and just repeal that and come back in committees and let people come in and testify, whether they're assessors or people in the communities, about their concerns, and then put together a good bill, because changes do need to be made to the Green Acres Bill. So I would hope that we could go ahead with this referral process and take it right to the floor. Thank you.
All right. Any questions? Representative Detmer. Oh, we thank you. And, you know, this is not only a rural issue, but it's like we see with yours, it's kind of those outer ring suburbs that where a lot of this land is located at this point, where there's a lot of development pressure. So thank you for coming, Representative Detmer, and we're going to hang on to House File 184. It'll be laid over for possible activity later. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep. Representative Doty. Representative Doty moves House File 10. He's hoping we will pass it and refer it down to taxes. Representative Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you also for trying to make sense out of this issue. I know you spent a lot of time outside of the committee trying to do what's right here. And we do appreciate that. This was a tax bill that affected agriculture, and it's nice to see it in the Agriculture Committee so that we can deal with those parts of it and hopefully sensibly do something that helps agriculture instead of ends up hurting our farms. The only option that's been passed on to me by constituents was get rid of it. And so that's why I'm here offering a repealer. I stood in line at the assessor's office with my father-in-law and my brother-in-law when they went in for their Green Acres assessment. And it was a line, and the people in line had one common thought: get rid of it. So, here's House File 10. The only thing that it would keep from the 08 changes would be to keep that second classification of ag land on the book. Otherwise, all the stuff that we did would go off the table, we could start fresh. And I think the biggest appeal of this approach, members, is that this is what the public understands, this is what the public would like to see. Get rid of it, start over, do the sensible things that are in there, but undo the damage quickly and get on with it. I will stand for questions if there are any, but I think, as the chairman has mentioned, we probably all know what's in here.
Okay, members, are there any questions for Representative Doty on House File 10? Again, realize this was basically a repealer. We'll just go back to current law. The only thing it does is leave that new two-way classification in, which is fine if you're not in Green Acres. I mean, that's an assessing and tax committee question. If it was part of Green Acres, which it is, in the next bill we'll try amending, that's where the discussion comes in. But any questions? Yeah, Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Doty and the other members that brought the bill forward, I want to thank you as well. A gentleman in the audience drove down today, and obviously we're not taking testimony, but I just wanted to speak just very, very briefly on the importance of this legislation. In this scenario, he lost his parents. They passed away. And so they're being punished or penalized, and it's very difficult for them to continue because of the law that was passed last year. So again, thank you for bringing this bill forward. Mr. Chair, thanks for hearing it, and I hope we pass it out again.
I will mention in your file folders there's some more testimony that was sent in by people that's available to you. And if there is someone in the audience that absolutely has to say something, we certainly are open to testimony, but are keeping in mind our time frame. We have to get out of here at noon. I think we've had a full discussion, and we have a lot more coming on the final bill. So if you absolutely think you have something to add, we're not going to preclude anyone. See our pages, and they'll come in. All right. And by the way, when I refer it to taxes, that means it automatically goes up through finance. Every bill that was here in our committee automatically travels up through finance. So there will be an opportunity in finance to look at this, and then, but we're going to refer it out of finance into taxes, giving the direction to the finance committee. So Representative Doty renews his motion at House File 10. Be recommended to pass and re-referred to taxes via finance. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Next, we have another Detmer bill before us, House File 341. And the chair will move House File 341 before the committee. Welcome again,
Mr. Chairman. Thank
you. You've got bill number two here. I guess what we want now is for you to explain what's in the bill, and if it's something that we think should be carried forward that isn't already, we'll consider that as we put together our final kind of committee bill out of here.
Well, again, Mr. Chairman, again, if the if the repealer bill is not go forward and not, you know, as we would like to see it go forward, we, I'm sure there's other representatives that have some other bills that would like to bring forward to make some changes in the, and put together a better amendment to the current state statute.
Hang on a minute, Representative Detmer.
Yes.
You should have something all packed together here in your file folders. On the back of it, there's one page that compares all the bills that are in your packet, which our tax researchers prepared, so that might be helpful for you all to understand what's in them, and I know it will help me at this point in time. So I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's fine.
Continue.
So if you take a look at House File 341, makes a number of modifications in the Minnesota Agriculture Property Tax Law, better known as what we call the Green Acres Program, undoing some of the changes made in 2008. It once again allows for land government-sponsored conservation programs to be eligible and allow property owners to withdraw from portions of the rural vacant land that is currently enrolled in, to continually to qualify and be transferred to a family member, or that is, or to be withdrawn from the program prior to January 2nd, 2010, without any payback, provided that 5 years of the payback taxes are due if withdrawn from property is sold within a 3-year period. It also reduces the paid, the back tax payment for grandfathering rural vacant land for the 7 years to 5 years. Basically, it allows land enrolled in federal and state-sponsored conservation programs such as the RIM and CRP to be enrolled in Green Acres as it has in the case prior to 2008. A property that no longer qualifies for agriculture under the 2008 law changes, this section and section 2 of the bill makes a number of changes to the Green Acres program affecting property that has enrolled in Green Acres prior to 2008 changes, but no longer is eligible to enroll in based on the 2008 changes. This is primary land in the new rural vacant land classification. It allows a property owner to withdraw some rural vacant land from the Green Acres program without withdrawing all the rural vacant land on the same parcel from the program. It also allows property classification as rural vacant land to remain in Green Acres indefinitely if transferred to a qualified owner, defined as a parent, brother, sister, daughter, or son, or current owner, whether by blood or by marriage. It also allows property classification as rural vacant land to be withdrawn from the Green Acres with no back taxes due prior to January 2nd, 2010, except if the withdrawn property is sold or transferred within 3 years from the date of the withdrawal. 5 years back pay taxes are due. So basically it's drawn it down from 7 years back pay to a 5 year back pay. It allows property classification as rural vacant land to be withdrawn from Green Acres with no back taxes due within a year of transfer or qualified owner, except if that withdrawal property is then sold or transferred within 3 years from the date of withdrawal. 5 years of back taxes are due. Also, a lien for the will be filed with the county recorder so that if sold or transferred within those 3 years, the buyer would be aware of the pending tax obligation. And it reduces the back taxes from grandfathered rural vacant land that is removed from Green Acres after January 2nd, 2010, from 7 years to 5 years. So those are basic changes in this bill, Mr. Chairman.
Good. And I appreciate your testimony. Members, what's probably the most unique in here is he's the only bill that has the 5 year, kind of an in between the 3 and 7 as a step. We're handing out, just for the members' edification, the delete all amendment. As you can see by the handout, the delete all actually contains a 3 year. We go back to the 3 year, so it's even probably better than what yours is at this point. But I ask us to keep that 5 year in mind both here and as we move forward as some negotiation point if we need to. So I think that was a good information.
Thank you, Chairman, and I stand for any questions.
Any questions, members?
No.
Yes, Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question would be to our tax research staff here, probably either Mr. Baker or Mr. Heinzen. My question is, under, as a qualified owner, this is sold or transferred to, would that cover trusts too? And the, is that would be the understanding in the bill, that trust would be included in, because it would be an inter-family thing.
Ms. Baker?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Magnus, I think so, but we sure can, you know, we sure could modify that if there is any question. That really wasn't raised as an issue, but I'm not sure that a lot of the trusts and estates are an issue right now.
Okay, well, Mr. Chairman,
Magnus,
just something we might want to think about as we talk about these rest of these bills now, that I would, you know, like to see us make sure we have that covered. It really is not what you'd call an arm's length transaction,
mm-hmm.
and it's not a transfer of funds, really, money, and so I hate to see that trigger something going. So it might be something we want to think through a little bit as we go.
Yeah, and even though there's not money, I think most, and I guess staff can correct me, most of this will happen at the time of title transfer, and that doesn't necessarily mean there's cash transfer.
Right, that's the problem.
That would be the kicker at that point. It's title transfer. That's
yep.
All right, any other questions? Thank you, Representative. Oh, wait a minute, Representative Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One fast question. Representative Demers, is there anything in your bill that would change the income qualifications for Green Acres, for getting your property into Green Acres?
Representative Detmer.
No, there wouldn't be.
Thank you.
All right. We will lay over House File 341 for possible consideration at a later date. What's the next one? Representative Hosh. Oh, he's not here right now? Hey, he was just there a minute ago. He's like the wind. Representative Kalin. House File 338. Chair will move House File 338 before the committee for consideration.
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
And members, you just got a handout from Representative Kitzmeyer. He's getting a little correspondence, and she wanted to make sure she shared it with the committee. So thank you for that.
Great. Mr. Chair and members, House File 338 has kind of two different verses. Second verse is the same as the first you've heard, but the third verse, as it were, is a significant departure from the other bills I think you'll hear today. And that is, rather than dividing into what I think is a little bit of an arbitrary distinction between productive lands and non-productive lands, and I think just to illustrate how troubling that distinction can be, one of the things that our county staff has told our farmers is that when they come out to visit, if they have to look at the land, just make sure there's a fence around and an animal out in that, in whatever it is, we'll call it a pasture, if there's a fence around and a single animal in there when we're there, and therefore it's productive. You know, I think that ends up being, illustrates how difficult that separation can be. So the core issue in my bill is the establishment of a new tax classification, a 2P tax classification that would be valued at 100%. So for the ease of valuation, it's highest and best use, but the tax rate is 0.25, so 0.25% rather than 1%. For most folks, that benefit will end up being actually even greater than the Green Acres benefit. But in terms of qualifying to be in the preservation and legacy land, it's Section 4 of the bill, Mr. Chair and members, that starts on Section 4. The bill would set up enabling language so that counties may choose to do so. We're not requiring them to do so. They, through public meeting and public hearings, the county has to define one or more preservation or legacy areas within the county, and they can use factors listed at the bottom of page 4, buffers along waterways, wildlife corridors, scenic assets. The county could just determine that the cultural and historic assets are important. And once that land is identified and mapped with a maximum of 20% of the total amount of the rural vacant and potential and green or sorry the rural vacant land, the 2B land, then landowners could enroll, could apply to the county board for a covenant on that land in order to receive this significant tax benefit. The motivation for this approach, Mr. Chair, is really that twofold. One is we heard over and over and over during the aftermath of the changes that, and from the legislative auditor, that the Green Acres program is not a conservation program. It is a farm preservation program. In Chisago County, we have a lot of small tracts of land, and the impact on farmers facing pretty big paybacks and then the highest and best use bumps can be in the tens of thousands. I've seen one farmer facing a $41,000 hit from the changes. And in order to avoid that hit, as we've heard, they're very seriously tempted to cut down those shelter belts, woodlots, and tilling up lowlands. Well, we have one of those 12 TMDL cleanup projects on the north branch of the Sunrise River where we have invested hundreds of millions of dollars and worked with the farmers who've been part of the non-point source pollution. One farmer going in and tilling a bottomland, which may be questionably legal but understandable to be tempted to do so because of the tax pressures, can destroy the hundreds of thousands of dollars of investment we've had in cleanup. So I think this is a great opportunity to say that as a county and as a state, we value that land and to provide the appropriate tax benefits and investment to protect those lands. One significant departure from the other Green Acres changes that are in the bill, Mr. Chair, is in on the top of page 3, the end of section 1. Rather than, and this is something, Mr. Chair, I'd urge your consideration if you do a reform bill rather than a repeal bill, rather than the making a distinction between productive and non-productive land, the farmer could merely certify that they have filed a 1040-F. And I would remind, I believe, and staff might correct me, but the 1040-F income tax statement, even though you take a loss, I believe that you have to be showing a profit in a certain number of years in order to be able to take a loss from some years. So filing that 1040-F is proof that you are farming. And I think that if it's good enough for the IRS and good enough for the Department of Revenue, it should be good enough for our county assessors. And then there's an audit. Section 3 requires the Commissioner of Revenue to audit, I think it's 1% of the total number of acres enrolled in the existing Green Acres program, to ensure that we have folks who are complying with the 1040-F and not trying to skate out of that. So,
and Representative Kalin, we talked about the 1040-F. One of the things that came up in that discussion was not everyone necessarily that farms files one. For example, if you're farming a property and your spouse is a physician who makes $500,000 a year, in all likelihood you're filing maybe not a 1040-F. The majority of your income is not farm income, and so I mean there were some questions at that. It was a good suggestion that's been brought forward, I know, by Farm Bureau and some other groups too, and so I think it's definitely something we can consider as we go ahead if that fits in, and it's I think we'll let the tax committee maybe wrestle with that more so than we will, but
yeah.
We do have some income requirements in the amendment that's coming, too.
Yes, and I noticed that, and I think that it's part of the discussion we'll have to continue continue having. I do want to thank Karen Baker and Steve Hines for their work. You know, I know that they've been extremely busy not only answering questions from our constituents and the Department of Revenue, but also dealing with I think 9 bills on the agenda today, and I'm sure dozens of others. And I asked them to take on a pretty complex subject by setting up this new tax classification. I would note, Mr. Chair, that the covenant language is largely modeled after the Metro Ag Preserve Program. I think there's some small changes, but I hope that we get a chance to be heard in Representative Eakin's committee and the Environment Policy Committee, because I think that's really where we need to talk about the issue of covenants and how landowners can get out if they choose to remove from the program, and how to balance that issue of a covenant running with the land and ensuring that protection.
Thank you. Any questions, Representative Kalin? You've got the outline. We're going to hold that bill here for a while, Representative Kalin, to see what happens. But if we need to, we can send it up to Ethan's committee. But to be fair, we're only moving two bills out today. So if no other questions, we'll lay over House File 338 for possible future consideration. Members, I have one person that we didn't get the name back there quick enough, but wanted to come up. Jerry Fisher, I wanted to say a quick word about 341. We'll allow that right now, briefly. And again, to members of the audience, and frankly to members sitting at the table, if you don't know, I believe there's a group of Farmers Union people here today. I don't know what part of the state, Tom, are they from? Okay, so this is a group that's got a lot of this stuff in it. So they're here watching with bated breath as we consider these bills. And I'd remind the audience to make sure your cell phones are off, but more importantly, this is the Ag and Vets Finance Committee, and there's always a pot of coffee on. So if someone's in the mood, it's up there in front. Help yourself. You can have a cup of coffee. Welcome, and introduce yourself and proceed.
Hi, my name is Jerry Fisher. I live in Plymouth, Minnesota, and I have a nursery. I grow orchids for a living. I bought my land in 1983 for $118,500. Now valued at $1.25 million. Next year it's probably go to $2 million due to a recent sale in Plymouth of land where the farmer sold out for $350,000 an acre without sewer and water. I have sewer and water. One of the problems I have with 341 and perhaps some of the other bills is in Section 4, that property is in the possession of a nursery or greenhouse or an entity owned by a proprietor, partnership or corporation, which also owns the nursery or greenhouse operations on the parcel, provided that only the acreage used to produce nursery stock qualifies for treatment under this section. And in my particular case, I have 5 acres, but our city only allows us to build on 20 acres, 20% of the land. I can't utilize the rest for my operation. And also due to topography, some of the land cannot simply be built on due to hillsides or it could be wetlands or the positioning of the houses there. So I just ask that when you think of these bills, think about what limits us from growing beyond where we are, and that the land we may need for other purposes. For instance, we have shelter belts on the north and west side that block wind. And that land could be considered non-productive, but it is productive for me because it saves me energy. The south side of my property I have to keep clear for winter sun, as the sun is very low and comes in. And if that goes to non-productive, well, for me it is productive. And so I think that the whole thing boils down to this. If a person's income, if it's 80% or whatever it is from the agricultural or horticultural use of the land, then it should just be all green acres. And forget about all the rest of stuff. It's too complicated. A lot of us just can't even understand it. And it all boils down to income. That's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher. And this committee agrees there's a synergistic relationship with a lot of the other acres. And we'll be addressing that as we get on to the next. Representative Haas, you ready to go?
Whatever you'd like.
You're up, man. Representative Hosh moves House File 340 before the committee. Welcome. Explain your bill to us, Representative Hosh.
And thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the committee members. I represent Central Minnesota, Central Stearns County. My district has about 2,800 green acres properties, and our county assessor, Gary Grossinger, was here testifying in front of the committee last week, and he probably has the largest load of any county having to deal with green acres and these law changes. If you look at your auditor's report, we have the greatest concentration of green acres properties in the state. House File 340 is a pretty simple approach with addressing what happened in this last legislative session, and essentially grandfathers anybody into the old green acres rules from 2008 and prior, and then extends the new rules from here on out. The general premise saying that anybody who enrolled in Green Acres under their old rules should not be penalized with the current rule changes. I do completely agree with the committee's intention, though, however, to address CRP and CREP land and RIM land into Green Acres, addressing the title transfer within our property. So I appreciate the committee for addressing those issues for here on up.
Any questions? He wins the prize for the shortest bill. It's just a little over a page. Thank you for that. If none, we'll lay over House File 340 for possible discussion later. Representative Faust. Representative Faust has two bills. Representative Faust moves House File 216 first, I believe, for a short explanation, and then we'll move on to 217, where we'll see most of the discussion. Representative Faust.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will discuss House File 216 first, and I think the importance of this is that if, as the Bill 217 moves through the process, if different amendments happen to it, some of the parts of 216 we might want to amend back into it, so that's why I think it's an important bill. The first thing that 216 does is that if there's a transfer to any heirs, it doesn't trigger a payback. That's very similar to a lot of the other bills that we've heard. It also has in it a one-year period so that up until December 31 of 2009, anybody with the non-productive farmland, the vacant farmland, can take it out without paying any penalty, not even the three-year penalty. So they can take the land out, and they don't have to pay the penalty. They will have to pay the higher tax rate going forward on that land, but they can take it out without any penalty on it. It also allows creep and rim land to stay in. And if a portion of the land is sold, if they sell 5 acres for a homestead or whatever, it doesn't trigger the payback on all the non-productive farmland. So those are the four things that this bill does. And like I said, the importance of that is that if some things from 217 do get amended out at some point in time in other committees, we may need to amend some of these things from 216 into 217. So.
Any questions on that? Seeing none, we'll lay over House File 216 for possible future consideration. Now, Representative Faust moves House File 217 with a recommendation that it be routed up to Environment Policy Committee after this. I think we might as well move Amendment Number DE1. That you have, and I'll move that amendment, and we'll get that on first to get the bill in the shape that we want it, and then we're going to have House Research explain what's in it from the table here. So all those in favor of the DE1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion prevails. I'd ask now that House Research go through this in as plain and simple way as you can so we all understand it, what we're up to in this amendment. And then again, as you see in your packets, we have one or two other amendments we'll be addressing beyond that. So I don't know which one of you or both of you. You stay right there. Just grab the mic. Make sure everyone can hear you. We want to keep you comfortable.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll start and Karen will chime in.
Mr. Hine.
Correct. Okay, if you delete everything amendment, Section 1 is kind of a major change in that Section 1 is now saying that anything that's classified as ag homestead becomes is eligible to be part of Green Acres. And under the 2008 reform, there was a split between the 2A and the 2B land that the 2A could be in and the 2B, for the most part, couldn't be in. Now, this amendment would say that if it's part of the ag homestead, it can be included in Green Acres. There is a proviso down at the bottom of page 1, lines 25-27, that say if the homestead actually has more than half of the acreage is the 2B, the rural vacant, that cuts off at that amount. You can't have more 2B acres than half the total, but it does allow you up to that amount. And so it's somewhat going back to the way things used to be.
Well, I'm going to interrupt you as we go for a little editorial comment, which I can do as the chair. Basically what this does, members, is make this one economic or one production unit like we talked about. So we're not going in and carving out the little half-acre piece of wetland, or we're not carving out the ditch buffers, et cetera, et cetera. It, as long as it's homesteaded, which again, that we assume are active farmers, active owners out there, as long as there's a homestead on it, you can then go in and classify it or ask to be classified as Green Acres. So please continue.
Mr. Chairman. I should point out, too, that this, now this, the Section 1 change that we're talking about affects enrollments from here on out.
Right, and I should mention that, too. What basically, members, what this bill is going to do is grandfather. Again, let me back up. I should have explained a little more. On your behalf, Representative Faust, if you don't mind. Basically, we're wise old owls in this committee, and we understand that it's got other committee stops, and we understand that there's 201 legislators in this body, and we understand that not everyone's going to agree on everything. So as you know, we passed the repeal bill out. We're not sure if that'll pass or not, but we've sent it on its way. What we're going to do with this one now is say, okay, if the repeal bill doesn't make it, this bill does two things, and Mr. Hines is exactly right. It's going to grandfather in everybody that's in Green Acres up to today. Okay? So everyone up to today is under the same rules as always, which is basically the same as the repeal. And then we got going forward in here what we'll call Green Acres 2. Green Acres 2 will be for everyone once this law is enacted. Green Acres 2 is that set of rules for everyone from this day forward. And I think that makes it very clear to understand. I think people will appreciate that out there. If you're going to enroll in the future, you'll have a second set of rules to look at, but they don't overlap each other. You know, if you're in the program now, you're in the program. If you're not in the program, you're not. Representative Fowler.
I just want to point out that this is a true grandfather clause. A lot of people felt that what we passed last year had everybody that was in it grandfathered in, and then we found out that, no, there actually were changes to the grandfather. And so this is a true grandfather clause where they live under the old rules as long as, and it's grandfathered to the land, not the owner.
So the land,
if it, if it is sold, it can follow the to the new owner.
Exactly. Mr. Hines.
Mr. Chairman, then, so, and Section 2 of the bill, I'm not jumping to Section, but Section 2 is the part that basically covers the property that had been in that was no longer in and is a complete grandfather.
Okay.
Jumping back now to Section 1, another change then on the going forward part is that this amendment now would preclude anything that's classified as ag non-homestead from being included in Green Acres. So it would limit it to ag homestead property. And there's another clause in lines 8 to 10 on page 1 that requires that there be $1,000 of agricultural products produced or capable of being produced to give some minimum size to what a farm has to be to qualify.
And again, members, to that point, the $1,000 of ag products mirrors a USDA definition of how they count farms, and so that's why it's put in here. It's not something that was pulled out of there. Mr. Sullivan did some research on language, and I think we always need something to hang our hats on. Why did you put it in there as we go forward? Because that's the USDA definition. And again, remember, $1,000 of agricultural products sold. This isn't government checks collected. This is products sold. So you have to be actively engaged, whether you're the orchid farmer, whether you're a goat farmer or a dairy farmer. You have to be selling product off of that land, which again makes it an agriculture program, not a conservation program, because you actually have a requirement that you have to sell product off the land. Mr. Hines.
Finally then, Mr. Chairman, at the bottom of page 2, another change that the 2008 changes said that the crep and rimland was no longer eligible for inclusion. This amendment allows it to be included as long as the acreage in crep and rims does not exceed the half the acreage of the total farm.
And remember, there's an amendment that will discuss that later. But that's the set-aside CREP provision at this point. Continue.
Okay. And then, as I said, Section 2 is really the part that addresses the grandfathered lands, and it's, as Representative Faust and the Chair indicated, a total grandfather of by the land, based on the land, not the ownership of the land, so it continues to be can continue if it is sold or transferred to anybody, provided that it meets the old requirements of the Green Acres Law. And puts everything back to the three-year payback, as had been the case prior to 2008. And then Section 3 includes a number of features sort of that really address the whole agricultural classification, not strictly Green Acres. On the top of page 4, there's some language that tries to get at more of the idea of this land that's interspersed with the productive acres, to say that the old language that was impractical for the assessor to value separately, this now says that it should be interspersed with the productive land so that the improper to be sold separately, seen as sort of a minor clarification or broadening perhaps of that concept. Again, not as important under this bill because the 2A and the 2B land can both be part of Green Acres. But this clarification style will help a little bit on the 2A, 2B stuff. And then finally on page 6, two extensions of the agricultural class to include the commercial boarding of horses, which, as you can see, had been in there, but only if it was done with other agricultural production under the old law. So we struck the restriction that it be done in conjunction with raising or cultivating other agricultural products. And then on lines 13 and 14, to allow trees grown for sale as a crop to be included as agricultural products. Previously, they were explicitly not included if sold for timber, lumber, wood, or wood products.
And members, I would point out the wood products in particular came from our Southeast Minnesota assessors and others, and testimony showed that they consider that a cash crop coming off their land when they're selling timber and harvesting timber, and we tend to agree. Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And my question is, what determines grown as a for sale as a crop?
What line are you looking at?
On number 7, on line 613. Is that something the assessor is going to determine, or does $1,000 in sales determine it?
Correct.
I just want to make sure the assessors have a clear picture of what our intent is here.
Again, I'd ask our research folks, but I assume it falls under the $1,000 minimum, so of all products, so that would be included in the mix. Yes, they're shaking their head, yes. Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just a clarification for the benefit of our assessors. Being the language still talks about 2A and 2B land, will they still have to go through parcels and classify and differentiate between those two types of land?
And my understanding, and again they can clarify, is yes, that classification will still be there, but not for Green Acres. Essentially what we've done is taken it out of the Green Acre debate, and we've had one unit, whether it's 2A or 2B. But beyond that, we do understand there's a recognition and a need apparently for the assessors to have that as they're valuing non-Green Acres land, because truly there is probably non-productive ag land that would be valued separately, and I don't see that as even our charge to take care of that. I think that's a tax issue. We're looking at the Green Acres part of it, and correct me if I'm wrong, staff.
I think that's basically correct.
Okay.
That 2B would still be kept as a separate class. Perhaps a little more land would go into 2A because of the language on the first paragraph, but by and large, it's a non-Green Acres issue now under this.
Other questions? Otherwise, we'll move on to the amendments. Where's the Magnus amendment? What's your number, Doug?
It's A1.
A1. Representative Magnus has moved the A1 amendment. Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And really, we've got two segments here. Maybe I should even split it, but let's just go ahead with it as it is for now, unless someone wants to do that. The first part of it, delete line 33 and 4 and page 2. We should have a little discussion about land enrolled or acreage enrolled in the conservation programs. As I read this, basically, it would not be eligible if you have half or more than one half of the acreage is enrolled in the REM or CRP or CREP program or whatever program qualifies. But just a little discussion about that. What's the reason for that?
Well, and I was thinking this through this morning after you brought it up, Representative Magnus, and originally, you know, again, saying that this, we have the problem, one of the perceived problems was up in, for example, northern Minnesota, where I'm going to point, let's see, Dave Musilevich, our house research staff, would go up to northwest Minnesota, buy 80 acres of land, put it all in CRP, and never intend to farm it, produce on anything else, just derive income and, hunt on it. And that became a problem. But as I thought about that with your amendment, I would suggest that our homestead provision in here probably takes care of that, because he couldn't probably homestead that if he's living down in the Twin Cities.
Right.
If I'm correct on that, that wouldn't qualify. And so it wouldn't qualify for green acres subsequently. However, if a farm, which is on productive acres, what we are trying to get at is that the majority of the piece is used for farming, if it is a farm program. This is an issue, I think, that will really take up in Environment Committee, but, I mean, if you want to put it on now for discussion there, you know, I think it's fine. Realize that this doesn't preclude also the requirement that you have to produce something besides a government payment off that land. So you literally will have to have some other ag production on there. So again, you can't sign up all the tillable, retire, sign up all the tillable in CRP, and not sell any products off there. You have to still be actively doing something on that land besides producing a government check.
And Mr. Chairman, I think the $1,000 a year qualification would help with that. And in looking at the amendment too, Mr. Chairman, I would move a verbal amendment that we strike the last section, numbers 1.5 and 1.6. And talking to the research staff here, they've answered my question about that.
We'll incorporate that change. Members 1.5 and 1.6 are deleted from the amendment. That's incorporated in by Representative Magnus.
And Mr. Chairman, since this is going on to Representative Eakin's Environment Committee, I would encourage us to leave this to support the changes here and the others, and we'll have a discussion of that in Environment Committee. I think that's what we should talk about.
Okay. I have no problem with that. First, we have Representative Faust and then Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with you, Representative Magnus, that we certainly want to keep CRP land in Green Acres if possible. And I think that the Chair is also right, though, that because we had that discussion, and I think that the homestead rules will prevent that from being in there if they shouldn't be, and I think that really does address this problem as well as we need to. But I certainly don't have a problem with this amendment. It just adds a little bit more clarification and actually opens up a little bit more land in there. So.
Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I don't know who exactly would want to answer this question. A hypothetical situation. The farmer decides to retire. He's got a 320-acre farm, and he's got 80 acres in the creek bottom that he's enrolled in CRP. And he decides that he's going to sell off the productive land, including the homestead, and moves to town, but he retains the 80 acres of CRP land in the creek bottom. There's no longer productive agriculture. He's no longer homestead. Will he still qualify for green acres on that parcel?
I would say no, but... And that's what they did too. Again, when we're talking about an Eakin's committee, if he's in now, he would. But going forward, and again, that's why we're doing Green Acres too. Everyone will be aware of that stipulation going forward. Today, no problem.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Because it's got a full grandfather, Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I talked to the tax research staff here again a little bit more, and they suggested that I do not delete 1.5 and 6. I'll withdraw that amendment.
The magnet will incorporate leaving 1.5 and 1.6 in, so it's the original amendment now before us.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's a good idea. We'll send it up to the Environment Policy Committee where the conservation parts of this will be considered because, and I know that finally our environment community is kind of waking up. I saw something on the computer today. They finally realized there was a Green Acres bill here. So they've come to, and we appreciate that, and I'm sure we'll hear from some of those folks in your committee because they sure weren't down here testifying for some reason. I think it's where we actually ag and environment join hands, frankly, which happens once in a while in a good way. All right. All those in favor of the Magnus A1 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Amendment's adopted. I have no other amendments at this time. Are there questions, or does anyone want to testify for or against the bill as it sits before us now? Representative Kitzmeyer. Representative Welty, while she's coming up.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to throw out a hypothetical, and I'll have a couple others as we go. I contacted our assessors and talked through some of the issues that were in the first delete all amendment that I received, and this one's slightly different. But one question I have is, if a farmer decides to sell the land and move into town and then have someone else operating that land, since they homestead their place in town, are they going to be able to still keep their farmland in Green Acres? Not only currently, if they're grandfathered in, but under the new Green Acres.
Ms. Baker.
Mr. Chair, Representative Welty, I think it would still qualify as a special ag homestead. Mm-hmm. So I think that has nothing to do with the Green Acres really issue. That's just a separate ag classification issue. But yeah. The thing is, are you really kind of saying now that this person has no management involvement whatsoever in the farm? Because see, that's one of the kind of keys here on special ag homestead, that if you move into town and you rent out your land and you don't have any involvement whatsoever in that farm other than just collecting the payment, then you're going to lose your special ag homestead. So depending on the involvement here as to whether or not you are just, if you aren't involved, I think, and you know, we could ask the Department of Revenue staff is here, so we could ask them what their take is on this, but I think that would become an issue if they weren't involved at all in that operation.
We'll have the revenue staff come up as soon as Representative Kitzmeyer's done and give us that opinion. I see they're moving over there. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. First of all, as a courtesy, I want to mention that we have a large contingent from Sherburn County here today.
Wave your hands, Sherburn County.
There you go.
By the way. All right.
Townships, county commissioner, a lot of folks that really appreciate their taking time to come down today. And our county is hit very hard, and so we are totally in support of a repeal of Green Acres. Certainly we see some of these things in Representative Faust's bill that has some good points in it. The things we made, my concern is that we're going to get ourselves in the same situation of, repeal now and fix it later is more our approach. And now we're going to be trying to fix it now again, and we're going to get ourselves in the same spot next year of unintended consequences. So giving it some time and all these things are really good, but repeal it now and fix it later is more for that. And I know you've got a lot of things that are on your deck today. And so with that, I thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for those remarks. I've also sent some letters that you can read that are real-life instances and stories and examples of what the 2008 changes did to real people. That are really something that we can't be proud of when we're doing these things. So I'm encouraged by the focus you're taking here, the things that you might be making, and this is important to real people and really make a difference in their lives. I think they deserve that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members.
Thank you, Representative Kitzmeyer. Here comes our revenue guy for the wealthy hypothetical.
Mr. Chairman, my name is John Hagen. I'm Assistant Director of the Property Tax Division, and with respect to the member's question about a farmer who moved into town and did not continue farming, they would not be eligible for the agricultural homestead. The only way they would be eligible, as Ms. Baker alluded to, is if they continued to farm the property and were engaged in the day-to-day activity and management of the farm. So there is a potential they can move into town, live off the farm, and as long as they're engaged in the day-to-day farm activity, they would continue to qualify as an ag homestead and the Green Acres under this provision.
Ms. Baker.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think also if they had certain qualifying family members, so if your son, for instance, farmed it, that's a qualifying member. So there are some exceptions.
And that would qualify for homestead.
Yes.
Okay. Other questions? Anyone for revenue while they're up here? Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
I know in some instances it makes a difference also if you cash rent or share crop. That's viewed as more of an active role in farming. Would that make a difference in this situation?
Mr. Chairman and Representative, to qualify for the actively farming provision where you live off the site and farm it, you would have to be involved in the day-to-day farm activity, with the exception of a qualifying relative homestead. So if they cash rent, if they share crop or cash rent, that likely would not qualify.
Other questions? Comments? All right. Representative Wealthy, trying to cause trouble.
Well, Representative Junkie, or Chair Junkie, I just want to make sure that whatever bill we send out of here, we fully understand the implications of. My next question is just going back to Section 1, lines 1.25 through 1.27. We're now looking at, stipulating that a percentage, it has to be less.
Representative Wealthy, with a Magnus Amendment, remove that language. Never mind.
So we're still looking at having the assessors have to determine, the acreage and the enrollment, and we're saying now that it has to be less than one half.
Right. And Representative Wealthy, though, we haven't removed the 2B, so they'll still be doing that, whether it's homesteaded, whether it's green acres or not. They're going to have the 2A and 2B classification. Again, the difference is when you're in green acres, it's all one unit, and no more than half can be 2B. So again, it continues that thought that most of it, and it could be CRP, it could be your barn, it could be your pasture, it could be your woodlot, it could be whatever you're farming or producing, at least 50% of the acreage has to be farm, because this is a farm program, not a conservation. So 2B basically is the non-farmable stuff that they're talking about, which again moves into more of a conservation thing. Do we want to allow the majority of this to be a 2B farm stead, which again isn't a productive piece of property at all, and then it becomes a conservation program. So at least in here, we're staying away from the conservation side of it, and again, if that changes along the way, but again, the assessor's still going to have 2A, 2B classification on all property. And that, I don't see that as problematic. What we've done is say it can be, it doesn't count in the green acres parcel as far as valuation or separation. Was I clear as mud?
Well, Chair Duckey, I you explained it, but I'm still trying to figure out why on a farm we're going to try to put a percentage in and say that at least half of it has to be this way, because we can have a number of situations where you might be under it by 10, 20 acres, and now you're not going to be eligible for green acres. Am I understanding this correctly?
Representative Wealthy, listening very carefully to people that have talked about green acres, is that it's an agriculture program. It's not a conservation program. So if we open it up and just say any 2B, it becomes more conservation. That's not production, Ms. Baker.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Welty, I think another thing to think about is although you're trying to create like kind of an economic unit of the farm, when you make application to Green Acres, if this really created somewhat of a problem so that your threshold that you'd be a few acres under, you don't have to put all of your land into Green Acres and try and enroll it. So if you had 1,000 acres and somehow if you put in 900, it would be okay, but if you put in 1,000, you wouldn't meet that threshold. There is nothing in statute that says your application has to include the full 1,000 acres. So I don't think it would ever preclude you from having those 900 in my example, and I think that's something you have to think about.
All right. Representative Tremba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There were several counties that assessors hadn't allowed us to do green acres, and so we haven't had the opportunity to even do that. So when this assessor finally lets us do this, we're going to be back, kind of back, bone backing how do we do that? I mean, cause we'll be in a totally different place because the assessor refused to do it.
Can either tax staff or, again, the Department of Revenue come and help us understand why some counties weren't allowing green acres in their counties? Again, I'm assuming we're passing a state law here that people wanting to sign up in any county ought to be able to sign up on Green Acres 2 going forward now. Mr. Hagen.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Representative Otremba, as I know very well, and I've testified before some of your hearings, there have been several instances where assessors were reluctant or unwilling to enroll lands in Green Acres. We've heard anecdotal stories about it. They didn't want to get involved in the paperwork. It was too complicated. These are some of the stories that caused the legislative auditor and us, and assessors pretty much, to conclude the Green Acres was, in fact, badly broken. Another situation that occurs is the only time Green Acres is appropriate is if there is a situation where the highest and best use of the land exceeds the agricultural use of the land. So some parts of the state, it was not appropriate to put the land in Green Acres. The agricultural use was the highest and best use, and the fact that under the old statutory provisions, the woodlands were all included as a part of the farm. If the value of the woodlands were not higher than the value of tillable land, typically, there'd be no application for Green Acres. So, as Representative Otremba points out, this could create a real potential conflict where the counties that did not have Green Acres or had extremely limited Green Acres, possibly just on a lakeshore, the grandfather would create some inequities going forward, I would guess.
But Mr. Hagen, as far as I want to come now, Green Acres 2, I live up in Eakins District where there's very little of this because, like you say, the non-productive land typically is worth less than the productive land, but I do find a river bottom that's, you know, a nice spot for housing development outside of town. I want to sign it up as part of my ag unit. Does the assessor out there have to take my application, and if it falls into the category, accept it?
Mr. Chairman, in our opinion, we've always felt that Green Acres was not optional. It was a requirement in the law and should be implemented fully when it was appropriate by the assessors.
Well, Representative Otremba, to your point, if there is that problem going forward, you should be contacting on behalf of your constituents or whoever, Department of Revenue and or the route through to make sure that your assessors know they have to do it.
Well, Mr. Chair, they know it. They've heard it. And it's not happening yet. And all of the counties around us are doing it. So it's that's what the problem will be, is it's different even though we wanted to do this for, 20 years or whatever. And it's about... Well, I shouldn't say this on the tape. It's about money, quite frankly.
Sure.
But how do we do that? Because it was supposed to be in law in 64 or whatever, and it's never been implicated.
Can research or the department tell Representative Otremba the steps we'd go through if any county chose not to take any applications in and award Green Acres? That become
Mr. Chairman, I think what Representative Otremba is trying to get across is that even if the assessor will let everybody come under Green Acres now, because now the pressure is on that you do have to let these people in, that they will have to come in under the new rules.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge difference, because if they could have come under the old, if they would have come in a year or two ago, they would have been under the old rules.
Mm-hmm.
And so it isn't even a matter of the assessor now allowing them in. It's that they're going to be playing under the new rules, mm-hmm. and they are tougher, and it's harder to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of land that Representative Otremba would like in there because of the protection of the land can't be in anymore because of the changes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's correct, and I had an amendment here with the 2B stuff, because we're going to get hit really hard with that because of our land in that county, and maybe at some point we have to look at something, because I think that I don't remember how many were there, 4 or 5 assessors that wouldn't allow us to do this. I don't know. I don't remember. We didn't know. We just knew that some. So yeah, for and we're so we're being punished because the assessor didn't want to do it. And I don't know if there's a way to figure that, especially when people wanted to, and we couldn't.
Well, certainly a point of discussion, especially in tax committee, I should visit with them. We should all visit with Representative Lanchesky. I just don't know the solution to that, but you bring up a good point. All right. Any other questions, members? If not, I appreciate everyone for this. I think the two-track method ensures that something is going to get done. The four people have to make ultimate decisions in the summer here. I know decisions have been made, but again, this will grandfather everyone in before they have to go out and till or plow or farm. Representative Welty.
Thank you. And Chair Junkie, I'm just wondering if you would be willing to ask, see if there are any assessors in the room that would like to comment on this and just the implications of this, so we all understand.
Anyone else want to testify? Assessors? Any assessors want to testify? No? They were in last week, you know, and, well, we have the... Do you want to testify, Mr. Bonasek?
Hennepin County.
Oh, Hennepin County's here. Welcome. Introduce yourself for the tape again and proceed.
Mr. Chair, my name is Tom Mann, the Hennepin County Assessor, and I'm a member of the Minnesota Association of Assessing Offices Legislative Committee. And I think there's, you know, of course there's a lot of issues with Green Acres. I've testified before last year saying that, you know, we've done this for about 40 years and it seems to be working okay. I think the issues come up when we apply it statewide and use consistency in our definition, and that's where we're starting to have all these issues. I think, you know, looking at this amendment, I don't know, just to comment in a few spots, there was reasons last year why we thought we can move away from an income requirement and get something more simple. I'm not sure that if we're moving back to that here. The other thing is the non-homestead. We have a lot of properties that have been owned by the same individual for 7 years or more that qualify for Green Acres. Now this looks like it would take them out. Anything that's non-homestead.
Again,
at least that's the way
I remind you, no, they're still okay. In. Everybody is grandfathered in. Everybody is grandfathered in under the old rules. So
okay.
If they're in now, they stay in. You don't change. All you're doing is giving Green Acres 2, so the next application comes in for tax year 2010. You'll hand them the Green Acre 2 rules, and they can decide whether they want to enroll under that program or not. But everyone who's in it today, homestead, non-homestead, size of parcels, egg production, not egg production, whatever, are still in.
Okay. Then I misunderstand because the seven-year requirement is crossed out here.
Yep.
And just looking at that, that would solve part of the problem of farmer moving into town and still owning his farm.
And for new Green Acres, for Green Acres 2, we don't require 7 years either. We thought that was exorbitant even for the new under the new rules. So it stays under the old rules, and for the new rules, it's 3 years also.
I'll focus that closer. I just don't see anything in here that allows a non-homestead property to...
Not under the new rules. Except for we want to make sure nurseries and that business, those, you know, will tend to be non-homestead, and we're going to make sure they're included. But beyond that, the farm units, your farm has to be homesteaded. Otherwise, you're an investor or you're something else.
Well, and just having seen this today, I'll have to look at it.
And we appreciate it, and this bill will be moving up to Representative Eakin's committee, so the opportunity's there before it even gets to taxes, and there'll be plenty of opportunity there for testimony, too. But, again, we want to get it in as good a shape as we can from an ag eye perspective, and that's what we're focusing on here.
Okay. Now, Mr. Chair, the other thing that I noticed in here that is significant change is on page 6 with the treatment of commercial horse fording.
Mm-hmm.
Previously, if you go back several years, horse fording did not qualify for agricultural. It was a commercial endeavor. They did change it so that if you did horse fording in conjunction with a larger agricultural kind of a process, you could qualify. This taking that requirement out would basically put all our commercial horse boarding facilities into an ag definition, even though they're not doing anything but boarding horses. I think that you have to realize that in the statute there's a big difference between horse breeding, which qualifies, and horse boarding, which hasn't. So this would significantly change, I think, the way we treat those type of properties.
And you still have to have 10 acres along with this to sign up. So it's not just a one-acre boarding facility. It's the 10 acres, which we assume would include the runways, the pasture, the other things that they're boarded on. I don't know of any, very few horse facilities that are solely in barn boarding. Most of those have open space associated with them. Even though they might not be growing the hay crop there, they still have to have the 10 acres, which is kind of the open land concept we were getting at. And we heard them testify, you know, that this is agriculture. The horse business is a huge agricultural venture in this state. And so we listen to them and we put them in. Now, if we want to change that along the way, I'm sure someone will come up with it. But I guess I heard from the Ag Committee that we thought it was important to include those 10-acre-plus operations, even though they might say they're only boarding. So that's just the background on why it's in there. Any other comments? Questions for the assessors from anyone? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick thought. Would boarding horses income from that to go on a Schedule F? I would.
No.
I would
not necessarily. Yes, but for some people it does. Depends on how you choose to file, but you put it on an F. All right. 25 years, he's been filing a Schedule F for boarding. So that farm income at that point. All right, thank you for coming. So again, members, I really do appreciate number one, Representative Lanchesky and Ethan asking us to go through this exercise here. I think it was extremely helpful for the ag community and those involved in farming to be able to come in and testify last week and put this together. And again, remember now, this is a bill that Representative Faust is now going to go up to Representative Eakin's committee, but this is a two-track bill, 100% grandfather. So it's basically like the repeal bill, part of it. It's just the new changes are repealed. If you're in it now, you're in it now. It's the old rules. Green Acres 2, then, is what we're talking about moving forward. So you can make the decision on that. All right. Representative Faust renews his motion that House File 217, as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred up through finance to the Environment Policy Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion is adopted. Members, tomorrow we will heading over to the Veterans Affairs. Have you, Mr. AJ, or you, Mr. William Haler, taken that walk yet to tell us which door we can get in and if we can get in from the tunnel with our cards? And if you haven't, which one of you will be doing that this afternoon and letting folks know how to get over there?
Mr. Chair, I'll be doing that this afternoon. And to follow up on an email I sent out, from our tour to the Department of Ag, it seemed that all members were willing to walk. So the plan is to meet at 10:15 just outside the store by the elevators to walk over to the tunnels. But if any member would like a ride, just get in contact with me and we'll set that up.
Otherwise, feel free to walk. It's not that far. You know, you go through the MnDOT building, that's the next building. But there are like three entrances down there, and I think it's the second one we take, and I'm not convinced our cards work there yet. But they work in the tunnel to open doors, but I'm not sure if they work to get into every building. But we will check that out, and if you go on your own, fine. If otherwise, come with the group at 10:15. We know we'll have someone at the door. We're going to meet on the fifth floor of the Veterans building. They're going to go through some case scenarios, what they do over there, give us a little tour, and get us acclimated to their department. So, any questions, announcements? Seeing none, thank you, members. Meeting is adjourned.